Greetings, this is J.R. Dickey. Thanks for tuning into our podcast. And by the way, don't forget our website, graceandtruth.net. I hope you're having a great day, but if not, hang with me. It's about to get better. Okay, today we're going to talk about sin, but in such a way as I hope will be helpful to all of us. Let's get started. This is by C.S. Lewis. He said, "There is one vice of which no man in the world is free, which everyone in the world loathes when he sees it in someone else, and of which hardly any people except Christians ever imagine that they are guilty themselves. I've heard people admit that they are bad-tempered, or that they cannot keep their heads about girls or drink, or even that they are cowards. I do not think I have ever heard anyone who was not a Christian accuse himself of this vice. And the vice I'm talking of is pride, or self-conceit, and the virtue opposite to it in Christian morals is called humility. According to Christian teachers, the essential vice, the utmost evil, is pride. Unchastity, anger, greed, drunkenness, and all that are mere flea bites in comparison. It was through pride that the devil became the devil. Pride leads to every other vice. It is the complete anti-God state of mind." I believe that's from Mere Christianity. Now, what I want to do is simple. Put a holy spotlight on this great sin and its antithesis, using the scriptures to illustrate them. As a believer, it does not help to beat yourself up over your pride. It is hardwired into your DNA, but exposing its nature can help all of us to avoid being swept up by it. Adam and Eve were snared by it the moment they disobeyed God. Cain killed Abel because of it, and when God mercifully dealt with him on it to allay his fears, he said that if anyone came against him, he would be avenged sevenfold. But not long afterward, one of his descendants, Lamech, bragged to his mate, his spouse, says, "And Lamech said unto his wives, Ada and Zillah, hear my voice, you wives of Lamech. Hearken unto my speech, for I have slain a man to my wounding, and a young man to my hurt. If Cain be avenged sevenfold, truly Lamech 70 and sevenfold. And throughout history, we read of many, many notable incidents in which pride has manifested greatly. One comes to mind. Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, walked in the palace of his city, and it says, "All this came upon King Nebuchadnezzar. At the end of 12 months, he was walking about the royal palace in Babylon, and the king spoke, saying, Is not this great Babylon that I have built for a royal dwelling by my mighty power and for the honor of my majesty?" It's out of Daniel 4. The king's hubris led to his humbling by the Lord. Soon after, he literally began to think and act like a beast, and this lasted for years. But the peasant and the poor are just as prideful as the mighty and rich. Peter boasted pridefully that he would never betray Jesus. Oops! James and John thought they deserved to sit on Christ's left and right in his kingdom. Whoa! Suffice it to say that the list of people sinning in pride, it includes everyone. Lewis also wrote, "Does this seem to you exaggerated? If so, think it over. I pointed out a moment ago that the more pride one had, the more one disliked pride in others. In fact, if you want to find out how proud you are, the easiest way is to ask yourself, how much do I dislike it when other people snub me or refuse to take notice of me or shove their oar in, or patronize me, or show off? The point is that each person's pride is in competition with everyone else's pride. It is because I wanted to be the big noise at the party that I am so annoyed at someone else being the big noise. Consider Cain and Abel. They both brought sacrifices to offer before the Lord, and as you know, Abel's was accepted while Cain's wasn't. Cain resented this, and in pride, competitive pride, he killed his brother. Lewis says, "Now, what you want to get clear is that pride is essentially competitive. It's competitive by its very nature. While the other vices are competitive only, so to speak, by accident, pride gets no pleasure out of having something, only out of having more of it than the next man. We say that people are proud of being rich or clever or good-looking, but they're not. They're proud of being richer or cleverer or better-looking than others. If everyone else became equally rich or clever or good-looking, there would be nothing to be proud about. It is the comparison that makes you proud, the pleasure of being above the rest. It is pride that has been the chief cause of misery in every nation and every family since the world began. Other vices may sometimes bring people together. You may find good fellowship in jokes and friendliness among drunken people or unchaste people. But pride always means enmity. It is enmity, and not only enmity between man and man, but enmity to God. But humility is the antithesis to the great sin. It is pictured wonderfully in the innocent Lamb and perfectly in the Lamb of God, Jesus. Colossians 3 says, "Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering." When the apostle says, "put on," it is the same as saying, submit yourself to the Spirit and thus manifest. Now, as I said earlier, pride is part of your DNA, mine too. It is part of our deadly fleshly nature. Humility, on the other hand, is not. Like agape love, you must choose to put it on. Way back in Chronicles chapter 7, it says, "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land." 2 Chronicles 7, 14. And the Bible has much to say about the humble. For example, Psalms 25 says, "The humble he guides in justice, and the humble he teaches his way." And in Isaiah 29, "The humble also shall increase their joy in the Lord, and the poor among men shall rejoice in the Holy One of Israel." And in Isaiah 57, "For thus says the High and Lofty One, who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place with him who has a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones." And from James 4, 1 Peter 5, and Proverbs 3, they all say, "God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble." Here's a question. Has God offended you? Is there something bad that happened to you that you hold God accountable for? You can call it offense, or justifiable blame, or anger, but basically, it's just pride. I'll sum up with this from Lewis. In God, you come up against something which is in every respect immeasurably superior to yourself. Unless you know God as that, and therefore know yourself as nothing in comparison, you do not know God at all. trust, humility, and love. These are the antidotes to the poison of pride.
Now may the Lord grant you peace in the midst of any storm and faith to trust Him. Look for our next podcast, and may you realize more of His grace today.